Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, April 4th, 2019, coming up this hour.
The global stock rally loses momentum while bonds around the world gain.
Weak economic data from Germany weigh on sentiment.
The pound strengthens as UK lawmakers take a no-deal Brexit off the table.
And shares of Tesla slump after a drop in first quarter deliveries.
A new report from Ethiopia rules out pilot error in the Boeing 737 MAX crash, saying the jet plunged to the ground on its own. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets have their home opener today. They are 5-1 after finishing a sweep in Miami. Yankees lost again. Knicks lost. Nets lost as well. So did the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We're brought to you by Flexport. Say hello to Flexport and the operating system for global trade, combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics, infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
And the global stock rally is losing steam this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. S&P futures down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures down 9. 10-year treasury price up 7.30 seconds. The yield 2.49%. 2-year treasuries 2.31%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 19 cents, $62.27 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 40 cents. It's at 12.95.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1227 against the dollar. The yen at 111.41, John.
And we begin with the latest signs of progress in trade talks between the U.S. and China. Sources tell Bloomberg a draft agreement would give Beijing 6 years to meet commitments outlined in a deal. Joe Sobchak has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
China would get until 2025 to implement certain parts of it, including commodity purchases and allowing U.S. companies to wholly own their subsidiaries in China. There are still a few other issues that are unresolved, but they are still trying to move toward having some sort of meeting between Trump and Chinese leader Xi somewhere to sign this agreement in the near future.
Another sign of progress, President Trump will meet with China's top trade negotiator at the White House today, signaling talks are nearing their final stages.
And that progress helped lift stocks in China for the fifth straight day, while other equities in Asia struggled for direction. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Chinese stocks on the mainland outperformed amid reports authorities are to offer new measures to reduce taxes and raise wages. The CSI 300 climbed 1% to close at March 2018 highs. Japanese stocks were flat while Australian equities underperformed after a recent rally. India's rupee lost ground after the nation's central bank reduced its key rate, its second rate cut in a row. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Meanwhile, in Japan, former Nissan Chairman Carlos Ghosn has been arrested again, this time on new allegations he used millions of dollars from Nissan for his own purposes. And Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has the story.
Tokyo prosecutors entering Carlos Ghosn's residence in Tokyo before 6 a.m. local time this morning. They asked him to accompany them for voluntary questioning. He would be questioned on allegations of breach of trust and then rearrested. These are new allegations in addition to the financial misconduct allegations. That's where we stand right at this moment.
These are the most serious charges yet against Ghosn, who had been free on bail for less than a month.
All right, turning to Europe now. Lawmakers in the UK have taken the most damaging Brexit option off the table. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. A block to a no-deal Brexit. Shortly before midnight, the House of Commons voted by the narrowest of margins, a majority of just one, to seek another extension from the EU and to rule out leaving with no deal on April the 12th. The legislation now has to be rushed for debate in Britain's second chamber, the House of Lords. Prime Minister Theresa May opposed the emergency motion, which was put forward by a rank-and-file member of Parliament. But the government now says a no-deal split is very unlikely. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. And we're getting some weak economic readings out of Germany this morning. German factory orders unexpectedly plunged in February. Plus, the nation's five leading research institutes are slashing their forecasts for growth. Bloomberg's Matt Miller has more from Berlin.
This is a big growth cut forecast, cut by more than half. Factory orders this morning we saw plunge 4.2% for the month of February. The survey was for a gain. So the economy here is not looking good.
Germany's research institutes say the economy will expand 0.8% this year. They had originally expected growth of 1.9%.
And now Italy is slashing its growth forecast as well. Sources tell Bloomberg the Italian Treasury thinks the economy will expand by just 0.1% this year. Italy's previous forecast was for a 1% expansion.
And on the corporate front, merger talks between Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank continue. But now the Financial Times reports Italian lender UniCredit is preparing a rival bid for Commerzbank. If those talks fail, Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Horton has details.
They're basically waiting in the wings. If these talks were to break down, they're ready to step in and make a bid for Commerzbank, considering the fact that many people in Germany say this isn't a deal that could work. It has a lot of regulatory hurdle. We've seen a lot of news. This can mean thousands of job cuts.
According to the Financial Times, a bid from UniCredit would involve buying a large stake in Commerzbank and merging it with UniCredit's German unit that has shares of Commerzbank up 3%.
And here in the U.S., shares of Tesla are down 7% in early trading. The electric car maker reported a record decline in deliveries during the first quarter. Vehicle shipments fell to 63,000 in the period.
And meanwhile, in a New York courtroom today, Tesla faces off with the SEC over CEO Elon Musk's Twitter post. Bloomberg's Jill Schneider reports.
The Securities and Exchange Commission wants a judge to hold Musk in contempt. The regulator says his unapproved February tweet about vehicle production was misleading and violated a settlement with the SEC, saying social media posts about the company need to be approved. In response, Musk cites his constitutional right to free speech and says he's made a diligent attempt to comply with the order. In New York, I'm Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jill. Futures contracts point to a lower open on Wall Street this morning, with S&P futures down a point now. Dow futures down 3 points. NASDAQ futures down 6, pairing earlier losses. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, the yield of 2.50%. 2-year Treasuries 2.31%. Straight ahead, we bring you the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nate. 6:07 on Wall Street. Time now for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Investigators say the pilots of a 737 MAX jetliner that crashed in Ethiopia last month struggled as the plane's automated commands pushed the nose down. Ethiopian Transportation Minister Dagmait Moges said the investigation found the flight took off normally and the crew performed all the procedures provided by Boeing but were not able to control the plane.
It is recommended that the aircraft flight control system related to the flight controllability shall be reviewed by the manufacturer.
The disaster killed 157 people. House Democrats formally demanded that the IRS turn over 6 years of tax returns from President Donald Trump. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The request is for personal and business tax returns. Ways and Means Chair Richard Neal writing that it is Congress oversight responsibility to review the president's business activities before and during his first term. The president?
I've been under audit for many years because the numbers are big, and I guess when you have a name, you're audited. But until such time as I'm not under audit, I would not be inclined to do that.
And he continues, he's always under audit. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The New York Times reports some of Special Counsel Mueller's investigators say the findings of their probe are more damaging for President Trump than Attorney General Barr indicated in his four-page summary. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell changed the Republican-controlled chamber's rules to speed approval of President Trump's nominees, who he says have been slow-walked by Democrats.
As I've explained in recent days, it is time for this sorry chapter to end.
Debate time on the Senate floor for nominees and U.S. District Court judges will be cut from 30 hours to 2 hours. House Democrats are looking to find a compromise solution to the Republican tax laws on the cap of the amount of state and local taxes, or SALT, that can be written off a federal return. They say the limits have caused their constituents to lose out on billions of dollars of deductions. Former Vice President Joe Biden, accused by several women of unwanted physical contact, said he needs to be more respectful of the personal space of others.
Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset, and I get it.
In the web video, Biden did not apologize, but says he will be more mindful. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stachauer.
John, is it possible Jacob DeGrom will this season be even better than last year when he won the Cy Young with a 1.70 ERA, only won 10 games because the Mets never scored any runs for him, but last night they did, and he was part of that.
Pitch on the way from Richards, and DeGrom, it's a high fly ball to deep right. Back goes Herrera. He's in front of the fence. That ball is gone! Into the Mets bullpen, Jacob DeGrom rips his second career home run, and the Mets take a 2-0 lead here in the third.
UCBS the call on the mound. DeGrom, superb. 7 scoreless innings, allowed only 3 hits, struck out 14. He's 2-0 with a 0 ERA. The Mets led 6-0. The Marlins scored 4 times in the bottom of the ninth, but the Mets won 6-4 to complete a sweep in Miami. A 5-1 road trip as they come home for the Citi Field opener today against Washington. The Yankees will be in Baltimore this afternoon. Their opening season homestand was a dud. More injuries than wins. They lost 2 of 3 to both the Orioles and Tigers. Detroit's Gordon Beckham homered 8th inning off Chad Green. The Tigers won 2-1. The Yankees struck out 18 times. And yet another Yankee injury. Troy Tulowitzki left with a strained calf, expected to be the 11th Yankee to be put on the injured list. The Nets in a battle to make the playoffs. Last night didn't help. A 115-105 Barclays Center loss to Toronto. The Nets did get some help when both Detroit and Miami lost, but Orlando won. Magic beat the Knicks 114-100. If the season ended now, the Magic would be in. The Heat would be the team left out. 2 games left for the Rangers this weekend. They lost last night at the Garden to Ottawa 4-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stachauer. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. S&P futures this morning are down less than a point. The Dow futures down 1. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we are going to preview the all-important U.S. jobs report that's out tomorrow. Bloomberg economist Yelena Shaletova stops by the studio to walk us through it. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's check the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump meets China's top negotiator today as speculation mounts that trade talks are entering the final stages. Sources say the current deal gives China until 2025 to keep promises on commodity purchases and allow U.S. firms to wholly own Chinese enterprises. President Trump's tax returns are back in the spotlight. House Democrats formally demanded the IRS turn over 6 years of his personal and business records. In the UK, Parliament voted to block a no-deal Brexit. The bill won by just one vote and moves to the House of Lords today. And Boeing faces tough questions after a preliminary report into last month's fatal Ethiopian air crash. The report recommends Boeing review its flight control system before the 737 MAX is permitted to fly again. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Nathan?
All right, thank you, Hannah. And we check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures contracts pairing back earlier losses. S&P futures are now little changed to lower. Dow futures unchanged. NASDAQ futures down 5 points. Price of the 10-year up 5/32. The yield at 2.50%. 2-year treasuries 2.31%. NYMEX crude oil little changed, just up a cent at $62.46 a barrel. COMEX gold 30 cents higher at $12.95.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1230 against the dollar. The yen at 111.42. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The suspect in the shooting deaths of 50 people at 2 New Zealand mosques is expected to make his second court appearance via video link on Friday. 28-year-old Brenton Harrison Tarrant will face 50 murder charges and 39 attempted murder charges at his court appearance. Tokyo prosecutors have arrested Nissan's former chairman, Carlos Ghosn, for a fourth time. In baseball, it is the home opener for the Mets. Yesterday, the Mets beat the Marlins. The Yankees lost along with the Orioles and Giants. The Red Sox beat the A's 6-3. The Nationals won in the NBA. The Nets and Knicks lost, along with the Wizards. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, hiring momentum in the U.S. may have slowed. Something to worry about, or maybe monthly volatility. Let's preview the all-important U.S. jobs report and look at some of the other data with Bloomberg economist Yelena Shalitova this morning. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, seasonal volatility. What are we going to be worried tomorrow?
I think the last number, that was a big disappointment in February.
That was a shocker.
Shocker. Absolutely agree with that. But we do ascribe it to monthly volatility. And it's just, look at this way. So hiring managers might have responded to tightening in financial conditions at the end of last year by not hiring more workers. But they didn't go as far as to fire workers. Look at the unemployment rate. Look at jobless claims, which remain at record low levels. And look at job opening rates, which continue to hover around record highs. So the conditions, the fundamental conditions, are still there for a healthy labor market. So we do expect a rebound on Friday morning, and we just think that job growth will continue at a healthy pace.
Well, I mean, how many people do we have out there? Right now, if you can fog a mirror, you can pretty much get a job. At some point, we're going to run out of people, right?
So that's why, and the Fed has been very happy about that, by the way. So that's why we are bringing people from the sidelines. Look at participation rates.
We call them fringe workers.
So, which is a very positive thing. So people got so much discouraged after the financial crisis. They just stayed on the sidelines. And now we are finally seeing a pickup in participation rates, particularly among prime age workers.
I look at the wage and employment data on small businesses, one of the things I focus on, and they're telling me that the small businesses are having such a difficult time finding qualified workers that they sort of have to find people who are maybe not qualified, then train them, or just not hire at all and not take on new orders. Does at some point this tight labor market constrain growth of businesses?
At some point, such tight labor market will result, and we're already seeing this happening, in higher wages. So people who do qualify will demand higher wages, and that will result in high inflation. And we are seeing just the beginning of the process just now, and this is something that we are going to see in the payrolls report again. So the first thing people will look at, okay, did payrolls growth rebound? Okay, if it did, everything is fine. The next thing they will look at is the wage numbers, average hourly earnings. Did they pick up again? They're at the record cyclical highs right now. So will we see growth in on that front?
Okay, do companies pass that along to their customers and consumers, or do they eat that cost and then have it cut into the bottom line?
The margins have been squeezed really badly, and that's why we're probably going to see an earnings recession in the first quarter of this year. So that has been one of the reasons why growth has been so slow in the
first quarter. At the very least, the comparisons are going to be very difficult,
right,
on the earnings
but,
front.
But we are at a turning point, I think, when we're going to see this cost being passed along onto the consumers. And consumers can handle it right now because, you know, the economy is doing just fine despite this temporary slowdown in the first quarter.
Real quick, give me like 30 seconds on the other economic data we've seen and what it indicates.
Okay, if you look at economic surprise index, you see a lot of weakness as of late in retail, you know, labor market, industrial sector, but we ascribe it to temporary factors. A lot of them really temporary in nature, and we think that we will see a rebound in economic activity as the year progresses.
Okay, tomorrow non-farm payrolls, what's your number?
It's on Friday, and we are at 175.
You got me scared there. I thought it was. Yelena Shalitova, a senior U.S. economist with Bloomberg Economics. We appreciate it. And as we look at the futures right now, kind of dead flat. S&P futures less than a point lower. The Dow futures are down 14, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now are 9 points lower. That's down about a tenth of a percent. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Trump will meet with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He at the White House today as speculation grows that negotiations over a U.S.-China trade deal are entering the final stages. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
The deal as it's now being crafted, according to three people familiar with the talks, would give Beijing till 2025 to meet commitments to buy more commodities and allow American companies to wholly own enterprises in the Asian nation. But negotiators are cautioning a final deal on core issues remains elusive. In a Bloomberg interview, former Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd was skeptical that trade rep Robert Lighthizer can win acceptance of his enforcement mechanism.
No, but he might get half a glass.
The problem, he said, is the idea of keeping tariffs in place while Washington monitors Chinese compliance.
That ain't gonna fly.
Still, Rudd says some kind of ongoing compliance check does make sense. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. In the UK, the pound is stronger after Parliament voted to block a no-deal Brexit. Details from Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London.
The UK took decisive steps to avoid a damaging no-deal Brexit as the House of Commons pushed through legislation to delay Britain's exit date, and Prime Minister Theresa May met with opposition Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn to seek common ground on a way forward. The bill by backbench lawmakers to force May to delay Brexit beyond April the 12th scraped through the House of Commons by one vote. It's now likely to face an easier passage through the House of Lords. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Germany's painful industrial slump shows little sign of ending. Factory orders plunged the most in a decade in February, led by a drop in exports.
Italy is slashing its growth forecast. Sources tell Bloomberg the Italian Treasury thinks the economy will expand just 0.1% this year. That's down from a full 1% forecast.
Shares of Tesla down more than 7%. The electric car maker reported a record decline in deliveries during the first quarter.
Shares of Commerzbank up 3%. The Financial Times reports UniCredit's preparing a bid for the German lender should its merger talks with Deutsche Bank fail.
Nomura Holdings has unveiled plans to cut $1 billion of costs at its struggling wholesale business as Japan's largest securities firm embarks on yet another sweeping overhaul of its international operations.
And former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn's been arrested again. Prosecutors accuse him of using millions of dollars from Nissan for his own purposes. Ghosn had been free on bail less than a month. Now let's see how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures contracts little change to lower. S&P futures down a point. Dow futures down 15. NASDAQ futures down nearly 5 points. 10-year treasury up 6/32. The yield 2.50%. 2-year treasuries 2.31%. NYMEX crude oil little changed. It's up 2 cents, $62.49 a barrel. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is being brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. Let's get the update this morning from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Investigators released their preliminary findings in last month's crash of an Ethiopian Airlines Boeing jet. Ethiopian Transportation Minister Dagma Ege Mogis said the probe found that the flight crew had trouble flying the plane by Boeing specifications.
The crew performed all the procedures repeatedly provided by the manufacturer, but was not able to control the aircraft.
The reports conclude that Boeing review the flight control systems for the 737 MAX 8 jet. The House Ways and Means Committee has formally asked the IRS to release 6 years of President Trump's personal and business tax returns. The president says he is not inclined to go along with the request, but California Congresswoman Linda Sanchez says it's not up to him.
He doesn't have any say because the request was not made to the president. The request, per the statute, was made to the IRS commissioner, and we expect the IRS commissioner to comply with the law.
It came hours after the House Judiciary Committee voted to move forward with efforts to subpoena the Justice Department for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report, along with any underlying materials. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports some of Mueller's investigators have told associates that the findings of their probe are more damaging for President Trump than Attorney General William Barr indicated in his four-page summary. Joe Biden is responding to allegations of inappropriate conduct from several women. In a video posted to Twitter, the former vice president says social norms have shifted and the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset.
I've worked my whole life to empower women. I've worked my whole life to prevent abuse. I've written, and so the idea that I can't adjust to the fact that personal space is important, more important than it's ever been, is just not thinkable. I will.
Biden offered no apology, but says he will be more mindful in the future. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, it's early, but the Mets are 5-1, and the Yankees are 2-4. First-place Mets finished a sweep in Miami, holding on at the end. They took a 6-0 lead to the ninth inning and ended up winning 6-4. So Jacob deGrom, only won 10 games last season due to lack of run support, is already 2-0. He's yet to give up a run in 13 innings.
Smooth, I felt. You know, I wasn't falling off hard. I always, whenever I say that, I feel like you could almost, like, after you throw, just walk the home plate. You know, it's none of the falling off to first. It's in a direct line, and, you know, I felt that tonight.
Career-high 14 strikeouts. DeGrom even homered for the second time in his career. Baseball back at Citi Field today. Mets home opener against Washington. As for the Yankees, second straight game with only one run scored. They struck out 18 times, most in Yankee history for a nine-inning game. The Tigers only had three hits, but one was a Gordon Beckham homer in the eighth off Chad Green, and Detroit won 2-1. What's up with Aaron Boone's offense?
The time of day makes it a little challenging. Seeing, you know, they've certainly pitched us tough, but we got to get better at, you know, controlling the strike zone. And, you know, frustrating that back-to-back days we've been able to grab a lead, and the pitching's been real good, but we got to step it up.
They're in Baltimore today. The latest Yankee injury is Detroit Tulowitzki, who's battled injuries the last few years. Didn't play at all last season. He's got a strained calf, expected to go on the injured list. That would make it 11 Yankees on the list. Nets lost to Toronto at Barclays 115-105. They're still hanging on for a playoff spot, but just barely. Orlando in that fight as well, and the Magic beat the Knicks 114-100. Rangers at the Garden beaten by Ottawa 4-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It's now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
America's battle against opioid addiction needs to be fought on both the supply and the demand fronts. It's important to get doctors to stop prescribing too many painkillers, but at least as essential is to make sure that they can use every available tool to help the millions already addicted to recover. Because overuse of opioids causes changes in the brain, the best way to help sufferers is with medications, notably buprenorphine. But most sufferers lack access to this treatment. Many more doctors, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants should be trained to provide it. Addiction treatment should be a normal element of primary care to help more patients and lessen the stigma of addiction. With medical schools and residency programs providing sufficient training, real progress on the opioid crisis would be possible. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Coming up today, we get weekly data on jobless claims. That's at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
In the prior report, claims dropped to a two-month low of 211,000. Forecasts suggest little change today, roughly 215,000. But there's evidence slower economic growth could cause the tide to turn. The ADP payroll report from March shows businesses added the fewest workers since 2017. Looking ahead to Friday and the March employment report, economists anticipate a recovery from the prior month's disappointing report, which showed a payroll gain of just 20,000, also the smallest since 2017. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Financial technology, or fintech, could be a game changer that small businesses need to get the products and services that meet their needs. Karen Mills at Harvard University says fintech will allow small companies to access credit at the push of a button. At the heart of it, she says, are algorithms that will immediately determine a small company's credit worthiness.
The lender could say right away, yes or no, and the small business could also at the same time know what's going on in their business. So I think takeoff, we're just at this inflection point, and you're going to see that takeoff you were looking for.
Traditional banks have been partnering with fintech firms to stay ahead in a new lending paradigm, but Mills argues it will be firms like Amazon, PayPal, and Square that may lead the way. Mills is author of Fintech, Small Business, and the American Dream. She was also head of the Small Business Administration under President Obama. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. It comes in a morning when futures are pointing to slightly lower at the open. S&P futures right now down about a point. The Dow futures are 10 points lower, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 4 points lower. Right now, the euro 112.33, dead flat against the dollar. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Still ahead, morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at Flexport.com/OS. Futures little change to lower at the moment. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures down 3 points. S&Ps are little changed, and Nasdaq futures are lower by 4. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.5%. Oil is little changed, and China rose 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning, and note that U.K. lawmakers voted to block a no-deal Brexit, and the FT reported that UniCredit is ready to snap up Commerce Bank if merger talks with Deutsche Bank fail. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims. And regarding trade, Trump will meet with China's vice premier today as speculation mounts that trade talks are entering the final stages. After the bell last night, Tesla reported a record decline in deliveries in Q1. Shares are down 8% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Constellation Brands to report around 7:30. Wrapping things up, Fifth Third was upgraded to outperform over at KBW, and Micron was cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal. That's SQUAWK. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Varr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The preliminary report into the crash of the Boeing 737 MAX 8 has been released in the Ethiopian capital. Preliminary investigation results show that the takeoff appeared to be normal, but soon after, the crew was not able to control the plane, even though they repeatedly performed all procedures provided by Boeing. The plane came down just minutes after takeoff, killing all 157 people on board. Democrats formally called for the IRS to hand over 6 years of tax returns from President Trump. In baseball, it's the home opener for the Mets. Yesterday, the Mets beat the Marlins. The Yankees lost along with the Orioles and Giants. The Red Sox beat the A's 6-3. The Nationals won. In the NBA, the Nets and Knicks lost along with the Wizards. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, A bad diet was responsible for 11 million deaths in 2017. That's according to research published in The Lancet. We know to take it easy in the high consumption of processed meat, trans fat, and sugar. A high intake of sodium accounted for more than half the deaths. And John, the study also found that we need to eat more fruits and whole grains.
You're giving nutrition advice? I saw you leave the building the other day with a pound of Reese's Pieces.
That was 2 pounds, sir. Global News, 24 hours a day. And I was going to give you some, but now. On air and at TikTok.
I think there's some nuts in there, right?
Not in Reese's Pieces.
No?
No.
Okay. I'll have to check the ingredients.
Oh, anyway, TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts of more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Yeah, it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include former Vice President Joe Biden offering no apology for touching women but vowing to change his style. The options for closing the U.S.-Mexico border are said to be under consideration by Trump administration officials, and President Trump taking part in a White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council meeting later this morning. And also making news today, President Trump will meet with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He at the White House today. And Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us this morning to walk us through these stories. Does this signal, Kathleen, we're close to a trade deal?
Well, it's certainly starting at least to look that way. There are a number of promising signs that a trade deal could be getting closer. I'm always hesitant, given the complexity of these types of things, to sort of put a fork in it until everything's very, very clearly agreed to. But definitely it seems as though things are moving in the right direction, and there's some optimism that we could be moving closer to another summit between Xi Jinping and Trump himself.
Okay, Liu He met with the trade representative Robert Lighthizer and the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin yesterday. Do we know what happened at that meeting?
Well, it sounds like they made some positive headway at that agreement, towards an agreement at that meeting. Apparently, part of there are now some drafts of an agreement that are circulating. And one of the things that is significant that's come out about those drafts is that they would give Beijing until 2025 to meet some of their commitments on commodity purchases. And so that essentially means that some of the enforcement mechanisms might not come into force until 2025, which is interesting from a political standpoint, because even if Trump does win a second term, that would be after he would leave office. And so some of the sort of actual decisive parts of that agreement might be far enough out that Trump could claim victory on them without actually seeing whether or not China complies in the long term.
All right, this goes all the way out to 2025. There's a U.S. decision to tentatively sell fighter jets to Taiwan. Is that going to throw a wrench into the works here?
It certainly could. I think that's the fear, is that, you know, the U.S. has so many different aspects of its foreign policy with China. And so obviously the Taiwan issue is one that resonates very strongly in Beijing. And so I think there is a concern that this could sort of potentially derail a trade deal or inject tensions over another issue into these talks that are ongoing. And so I think that certainly is a dynamic that bears watching.
Let's move on to our next story this morning. Democrats are formally seeking 6 years of Trump tax returns from the IRS. Let's start off with the legislative purpose for this. Is this oversight or something else?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, in the sense that this is something that, from a political standpoint, Democrats are very eager to get their hands on. There is a sense that perhaps his tax returns could end up being a liability for the president because they could disclose some financial, information that could be potentially politically damaging. And so from a political standpoint, certainly Democrats are very, very eager to get their hands and use their newfound majority power to prompt the release of those returns that Trump has not agreed to release thus far. But also, I think there's a sense that from an oversight perspective, that it's important for the legislative branch to make sure that they're doing appropriate oversight to make sure that the president doesn't have any financial dealings that could bear on his objectivity from the Oval Office. And so I think that's a legitimate concern that Democrats have, given that we know how entangled, Trump's business has been with Moscow and other foreign entities in particular. And so I think there's a real sense that that could be a useful information and important information to get out to the public. And so I think there's kind of two-pronged. It's not really an either-or question here.
All right. What does the law say? Does the Treasury Department have to provide returns to a committee, the Ways and Means Committee, in this instance when the chairman requests them?
Well, you know, the decision of whether or not to provide the returns is ultimately up to the Treasury Department. But, you know, I think that this is something that could end up being decided by the courts. If the Treasury Department says no to the Congress, the question of whether or not the Treasury Department has to comply could then be decided, you know, in a legal battle over the, you know, limits of legislative versus executive power.
Okay, let's move on to our final story here, near and dear to my heart, Kathleen. Democrats dialing back SALT goal with new focus on partial rollback. SALT, we should explain to everybody, the state and local tax deductions that now has a $10,000 cap on it under the new tax law. That hurts a lot of people, especially in high-tax states like, New York and New Jersey. What's the thinking here?
Absolutely. And so this is a provision of the tax law that was controversial when it was passed back in 2017. And so I think that Democrats see an opportunity here to potentially roll this back, in part because they're likely to get support from some Republicans from states like you suggested, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, those areas where the this particular provision has not been popular because it adversely affects, upper class taxpayers in suburban areas. And so I think there's a real opportunity for the Democrats, both substantively in terms of policy, to chip away at the tax law and also to, help get their 2020 messaging in line by saying, look, here, we're taking steps to protect folks that are middle class that are being hurt by this tax policy, and sort of build that narrative heading into the 2020 debate.
Okay. Kathleen, always a pleasure. Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
We humans can be wasteful, sloppy, and pretty gross. So says the head of a coastal environmental group in New Jersey, Clean Ocean Action. Volunteers cleaning up the state's beaches last year found everything but the kitchen sink. Actually, yeah, they found one of those, too. Nearly 82% of the almost 500,000 items of trash removed during its beach sweeps last spring and fall was plastic. Around 22,000 cigarette butts were picked up. That was actually down nearly a quarter from a year earlier. Balloons reached an all-time high. 5,470 of them were found. They are particularly hazardous to marine life. Sea turtles mistake them for jellyfish and eat them, often strangling their intestines. Shorebirds can get entangled in balloon strings. Who leaves diapers on the beach? There were 267 of those, up 78% from a year earlier. There were also pom-poms, a loaf of bread, a bag of lemons, an air conditioner, and a shoe with a bottle of hot sauce inside. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Futures, a little changed ahead of the open. S&P futures up a half point now. Dow futures up 7. NASDAQ futures down 2 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.49%, while the 2-year is at 2.31%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is coming up. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.